This is Clark and the Coach, presented by Advanced Roofing Technologies, with Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome to Clark and the Coach right here from the Allo Communications Studios, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Coach, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Clark. You know, coming over, heard that Philip Lindsay was cut by the Colts.
Absolutely.
You know,
bye-bye.
Great story. Yep. You know, I mean, people feel bad for him getting cut, but, you know, he lived his dream as an NFL player.
He was a tough runner, too.
He did it the hard way. He was a free agent, you know, out of CU, and great running back for the Buffs. Landed in Denver, had a few great years, really.
I figure a guy like that, though, is not done.
Yeah.
Probably not done. Don't you think he can hook on somewhere?
I think he can maybe hook up. And, you know, the average lifespan of an NFL running back is...
What, 6 years?
Oh, I think it's less than that. Yeah.
That's the toughest. Man, you're a bowling ball that just gets murdered every time you carry the ball. So you're gonna wear out pretty quick. Advanced Roofing Technologies are a great sponsor, headline sponsor on Clark and the Coach. Brad Evans, his great staff out there. We'll see his son, Carter Evans, a quarterback on Friday night against Orange Christian. See what the don't know what to expect Friday night. Get a team from Florida in, find out how good they are. Couple of Christians, Orange Christian and Resurrection Christian Friday night. And then Thursday, as we said yesterday, a little interesting because Eaton and University will play out at University High School, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And that both teams 0-1, so we'll see who's a little more thirsty for a victory coming up. I think the cupboard's a little more bare for Casey Dawson, the Bulldogs, though.
And history, I don't know how far back you have to go to history when these two teams played, that they hadn't won a game between the two of them.
Yeah, it's probably a long,
long, long time.
Although it's 0-1, 0-1, I get that. But, yeah, you're right. And always, I don't know what it is about Casey Dawson, the Bulldogs, but they give the Reds a run for their money every time they play. So
they don't like each other,
Well,
Clark.
No, I get that. But Casey's got a way of, just like Billy Joel used to say, he's got a way about him. I think that was a way about her. But for Casey, we'll put it away about him. He just knows how to attack the Reds. So we'll find out what that looks like. Thursday night, Reds and University, a great one. And then Friday, of course, as we said, the Orange Christian and Resurrection Christian will be knocking it out of the park. All right, new polls came out on the show today, too, by the way. Maybe the two best defensive efforts of the weekend in our local teams, as we throw it out there. I'm not trying to short anybody, but Mark Brook and Rocky Mountain took on Chaparral, beat them 20-0.
They dominated them.
Yeah.
They did
give up over 200 yards rushing, so we'll talk to Mark about that, but... this is that was a great start, 20-0. No stats for Rocky out there so far, so we'll find out what Gage Brook did and the offense for Rocky Mountain. But terrific opening win for them. They who do they get? They get Cherokee Trail. Oh my goodness, that's a playoff team, of course. So in 5A, every time you go to the next game, it's just a tougher foe. So we'll see what Rocky gets. We'll also get Corey Tickner, Berthoud Spartans football coach. They went against Timnath at Timnath High School on the weekend and held Timnath to 6 yards of total offense. Minus 14, I think, passing. So some sacks in there and plus 20, I think, on the rushing side. So Timnath, of course, with only freshmen and sophomores. My question for Corey Tickner is, I think there were 25 kids for Berthoud that had tackles. That's a long, long list. That tells me that...
everybody played.
Everybody played. And how do you gauge your team against freshmen and sophomores when you dominated? Was that a worthwhile game for your kids? We'll find out. Corey Tickner, the Berthoud Spartans head coach. Great start for them. 48 zip. So we'll find out what do they got. They got Valley coming up next. They get against Scott Leffler's ball club out there. So... it's Valley's first game too, so advantage certainly for Berthoud. If you played a game against a team that's playing their opener, I think it's a big advantage. Don't you?
I think it's a huge advantage, especially in football with the limited games. You have a 10-game schedule, and most of the improvement occurs between that first and second game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, new top 10 for football has come out. And we're going to try to get on Friday, we're going to try to get you guys a little bit of, I know football kind of slams right now, but we're going to try to get you some volleyball and softball updates on Friday and maybe a couple of coaches. coaches up on the air. So hang on to that thought for a sec. Top 10, 5A. And this is, you know, when you look at the, whatever they're calling this, League 8, League 25, the FRL, you call it whatever you want, but it's our guys up here in 5A. You just don't see a lot, no respect for the top 10 for these teams, and maybe that's warranted. But Fossil Ridge and Rocky Mountain, both in the also-rans, others receiving votes. Fossil Ridge, 5 votes, Rocky Mountain, 1 vote to be in the mix in the top 10. But Cherry Creek, Regis, Grandview, Columbine, Valor Christian, Ralston Valley, Pine Creek, Legend, Thunder Ridge, and Arapaho. Bruce, that's just the same, it's the usual suspects, right?
Yeah, they just changed the order a little bit, you know, of right. The top 4, top 6. That will change within the next couple of weeks somewhat, but those 10 won't probably change a lot.
What we usually see is Fairview in the mix in the top 10, but this year not so much. So don't even see them getting any votes as well. So maybe a down year. Well, they didn't have a great year last year.
They had a down year a year ago as well in most of their athletics.
4A, well, there's been a change there, of course. Palmer Ridge goes to the top. Ponderosa, who beat Erie, who was the number one team. Ponderosa goes 2, Pueblo West is 3, and Erie drops all the way to 4. So Blake Barnett, the terrific junior quarterback over at Erie High School, they'll have to come off the mat and figure out how to win a ball game now. Montrose, Broomfield, Dakota Ridge, and Vista Ridge are 5 through 8. Loveland is in at 9, off the loss to Fossil Ridge High School, but that's a 5A team, and I don't think that I thought Loveland played a really good game. They showed they could run the football. They showed their offensive line could move Fossil Ridge's defensive line out of the way if they needed to, and lost in the last second. So Loveland, I think, at 9, maybe better than that, I think, in Class 4A.
I think so.
I think when you find out all said and done, Loveland's going to be a top 8 team.
I think they're possibly even higher than that, yep, Clark.
Maybe.
Because just with their running attack and how difficult it is to stop that, and they have many, many weapons, I think their defense will come along. You know, they gave up 36 points to a very high, you know, potent offensive team in Fossil Ridge Sabercats. So I look for, in 4A football, Loveland to be near the top before this is all over.
Class 3A, Roosevelt at the top of the road off a good win against Palisades. So I don't know that Lane Wasinger's team loves to be number one. They were number one most of the year last year. I'm just saying it's a spot that probably most coaches don't want to be in. Meade is 2 here. They dropped off the win. So Meade was 1 last week in the preseason poll, but we saw how defunct those polls were. A lot of the preseason poll teams got beat in the top 10. So now we start to round into every week we go through this, get to week 3, week 4, week 5, get a little better understanding in the top 10 who's real and who's not. But Roosevelt goes to 1, Meade is 2, Durango, Holy Family, and Lutheran are 3, 4, and 5. Then you get to Resurrection Christian at 6. We'll find out just how good their win against Moffitt County was. They whapped Moffitt County, beat them 36-6. But now they get the team coming in from Florida on Friday night, Orange Christian. We'll find out what that looks like. And then Northridge is number 7, and that's the team I think everybody needs to keep an eye on because they're going 48-0 in their opener, but we don't know who they played. So, Northridge in at number 7, pretty tough right there. And Fort Morgan, your defending champion from a year ago, very depleted. Not a lot of kids from last year on the club. So
yeah, whole different team in high school year to year.
Already dropping.
And that's where you see this, you know. And plus, they had a great run a year ago to finish out on top.
Boy, sure did.
They weren't favored by any means and were able to, you know, just survive week to week in the playoffs and end up winning it all.
2A Football Classical Academy off the win against Eaton. They pole vault themselves to number 1. Delta, who beat University 24-0, they're 2. And rightly so. Put them up there and let's take shots at them. Eaton is in at 3, Elizabeth 4. Platte Valley is 5. Oh, Troy Hoffman, you got to tell me that. You got to show me that you need that you're up there, that you're one of the top 5 teams in the state. Let's see. This is going to be a big one next Saturday night, a week from Saturday. Platte Valley will roll into Eaton and take them on in a big Saturday night game. It opens the brand new stadium at Eaton High School. It's going to be a huge crowd on hand. It's going to be a great night, and 2 real big rivals, Eaton and Platte Valley, go at it. That's going to give me a clue as to what. Howdy Johnson and Talon Short and the guys at Platte Valley, the quarterbacks there, what they have in stock this year, because they got to come to Eaton and play them after a couple of games already.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Both leagues are going to be fun. You can already see in the rankings with 4A and 3A the differences where some of those 4A teams were 2A football teams last year, you know, and some of them stayed in the same classification, which is basically 3A this year.
Okay, now I see Bruce just came in and completely confused me in that. That sounded like you were giving me a 1984
severance.
No, I know what you meant, but
resurrection,
right? Are playing
basically up a little bit because of the different classifications in
CASA. Yeah, playing 3A football, and the rest kind of sitting around in 2A land, although an expanded 2A land with three conferences now. So. We'll see how that goes at the end. It's like Platte Valley too. I just look at that conference that Platte Valley's in, and I go, "Who else is going to run at them?" I mean, sometimes you feather things out too much, and conferences become diluted. So I'm just not sure that that's a good thing for spreading the teams out.
And in football, I'm sorry, it's still 5A and under.
Yes,
is it? Yeah,
that's correct.
Other sports. So when we get to the winter season, 6A. Comes into play.
Let's just have
all
12
through
in.
1A. So when we get mixed up with 3A football and 2A football, that's the reason, because of all the other sports.
And that's something I've never understood either. How can a team be a 3A in one sport and 2A in another, or 5A in one and 4A in another?
All because of football, Clark.
It's all because of football.
Yeah, because there's 8-man football, there's 6-man football. So the football divisions, there's actually more divisions in football.
And to vary amounts, so you've got kind of the same amount in each class. There, you drop down a level because of the six-man. You'll see, that's why I brought you along today, so you could explain. And that's a great explanation. 6A and 6-man and 8-man, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, it brings so many more teams and classifications into football. They got to string them out a little bit. So yep, everybody goes down a level, kind of, at least as far as that
goes.
But
teams like Severance and Resurrection locally, they are 3A football this year, correct?
Correct.
Okay, where
that
they
tells me they're going to play 4A basketball.
So
right?
They will be 4A basketball.
Right. Silly, yeah. silly.
Have to have a chart on the wall to keep everything straight once in a while.
Yep, sometimes I don't understand things. PWI, Performance and Wellness Institute. Ryan Waslowski, the Waz. He is an assistant track coach out at Eaton High School, athletic development specialist for the last 9 years in NOCO. PWI, your own customized, individualized, and personalized fitness and performance center. They're located right here in the heart of Greeley. For all they do, services, trainer bios, and testimonials, go to PWItraining.com. We're coming back in a moment. Mark Brooke, head football coach, Rocky Mountain High School. I moved out here in 93. And I think Mark Brooke was on the campus then. My goodness gracious. At least he was getting close to jumping on there at Rocky Mountain. He's been there forever. We'll come back with the coach of the Lobos, 1-0 on the season. When we return right here from the Allo Communications Studios, it's Clark and the Coach on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to the program. Clark and the Coach, Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you on a Tuesday from the Allo Communications Studios here at KFKA. Thank you to AMCO, Fort Collins, AMCO of Loveland. Those are my guys. Keep me on the road, my kids on the road. Don Scott, his great staff, 40 years out there on South Mason Street in Fort Collins. Number one store in the region, so they said, hey, let's go knock this out in Loveland, too. Dave Martin has been with Don for over 30 years now in charge of that Loveland store. Give him a call, 667-3006 in Fort Collins. Lance is running the store over there for Don. 226-4477. Lance Pickett, the guy over there. Give him a call because they're always packed. You know why? Because they're killing it. They're just doing a great job of getting you back on the road and keeping you there. From maintenance to everything else, transmissions, brakes, everything they do. Total car care at AMCO of Fort Collins and AMCO of Loveland. Let's get to the Gould Parts Hotline right now. Longtime head football coach out at Rocky Mountain High School. Mark Brooke jumps on the phone with us. Coach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, let's talk about it, man. Good win in the opener. I don't get any offensive stats, so you're going to have to let me know what you guys did, what Gage and the group did offensively. But defensively, a nice effort. I mean, he held the Wolverines, Chaparral, but shut him out 20-0, held him to 41 yards rushing the football, 2.2 yards a carry. That's a great place to start, Mark, is to go, let's stop them on the run.
You know, it is. It was, as you guys know, high school football is one up front, and our both lines did a fantastic job for us. Obviously, holding that team to 40 yards rushing, whatever we did, was a great feat for them. And we, you know, our kids flew around and played discipline. And, you know, it was the cool part for us was it's been an area of focus for us all year. And so they came up and performed. Now, talking with Coach Ketron after the game, I know Chaparral's a younger team, so they're going to learn and take bumps and bruises as they go. But they're a really well-coached team, so they're going to continue to make progress each week. And as you guys know, the biggest gains are going to be made this next week. So let's see how we respond coming back against Cherokee Trail this Friday.
Coach, your line, it's built, you know, obviously Ethan Thomason, and we hear a lot about your quarterback, Gage Brook. Just tell us about some of the other guys up front on that line that are obviously are doing a great job for you.
Yeah, we got a handful of guys on both lines that are fantastic for us. On the defensive line, you know, we're kind of anchored with Will Pryor in the middle. Will's playing in our odd front. He'll play the nose, or he can play some end for us as well. You know, we have Carter coming back, and we have Michael Delop and Boak on the edges that are both doing a great job for us up front defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, Zane Feltz is also, hasn't had as much publication as Will has, but he's a great guard for us, been a real staple for us. And, you know, we have a couple other seniors, Ben Freeman and Tyler coming back. Both of them are coming back on the offensive line, and Caden, our big center. So, Coach, we've been blessed with a great line on both sides of the ball. So that's, you know, for us, as a head coach, that's where you put your players. That's where you make your hay.
Zane Phelps, you throw a name out there. That's a Bayfield kid, right?
Bayfield.
One more time. Bayfield, didn't he play? Zane Phelps, I thought that was a kid that had, maybe I thought he had transferred, but or had family back. There was a kid, Zane Phelps, who played at Bayfield High School a few years ago. I wondered if that was a family member coming out here.
Potentially could be relative of some sort, but no.
That's a name that scares some people out here. So, yeah, at least at the 2A level, I will tell you that.
Right.
Talk to me about the offense in the opening game. I want to go defense after this. But talk about the offense. Were you guys balanced? From the offensive attack, what did you gather from the first game?
We were. Well, and you know, so Chaparral runs a very attacking defense. They bring six man pressure almost consistently. So we, you know, our running game is huge for us. We rushed for over 200 yards. Had a really, really, really good first half. We executed on our first four series. And then we, you know, penalties started to bite us in the second half. We got a little bit, you know, and that's part of being young in some positions and learning as we went. But we rushed the ball really well. We threw the ball decent. Just there wasn't a lot of big opportunities for big plays. But we, you know, we were a fairly balanced attack, which was, as a head coach, it's a great thing. It's great to be balanced, and we had the ability to do both. So that was huge for us. Like I said, our offensive line was fantastic up front, and Abe had a huge night for us. He rushed for over 200 yards.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, big night certainly for him. Talk about the defense too, Mark. And I look at it and I just go, okay, let's. I went through top tacklers last year, senior.
My goodness,
I think the top nine tacklers last year all graduated. So I would say, you know, your eyes on the defense early. You like what they did early. They got the shutout. What did you see from them?
The biggest thing is they just executed. They came out and they were disciplined. They didn't give up any big plays. I want to say Chaparral's biggest play was I think they had like 122-yard pass, something like that. So we executed and were great, you know, great to discipline. And our kids got the football, which was huge. We don't have any huge names. I mean, obviously, I said we're anchored up front with Will coming back, and then we have Jordan Delop, the linebacker, coming back, played a lot for us last year, but we're pretty young about everywhere else. So the kids did a great job disciplining, getting to the ball, and just executing coach's game plan. So it was, you know, and as I said, Chaparral was fairly young, and they'll get better as the weeks go on. So they were pretty generic in offensive package. But our kids did great, Coach. They tackled well, and we were disciplined. So that's, as a head coach, we can't ask for anything more.
Hey, Coach, you have a terrific schedule. I mean, man, this schedule with, you know, Legacy and Eagle Crest. But then as I look down the road a little bit, have you ever played three city teams back-to-back-to-back?
I don't believe we have. I have to go back and look at the archives, Coach. I don't remember if we have or not, but It'll be a fun little stretch for us. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is
week 6, 7, and 8 are going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the crowds seem to be coming back to the high schools, and once you get to those city rivalries, there's just nothing like it in Fort Collins.
There isn't. And we're, you know, obviously got the new stadium out east that we'll get to go play in, and we're playing a game at Canvas Stadium, so we're going to have a little bit of everything this year. So it'll be interesting for our kids, and obviously there's nothing like playing in front of the home crowd, so they're definitely looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah, the Canvas Community Clash on the 30th of September. Mark, that's going to be fun. I mean, I want to get back to the days when I came out here, and we're talking about 05, 06. You'd get Rocky and Fort Collins. You'd get 5,000 or 6,000 people at French Field. This is the way, I think, to get this going again in here, get it over to Canvas, and let everybody come out and have a great time. A doubleheader on Friday the 30th of September. That's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. It's a cool opportunity for our kids to get in, to obviously compete on that venue for sure, and hopefully our community. Obviously, timing-wise, the doubleheader will be a little tough for some of the parents who work and want to be. We have a 4 o'clock game, but it's still going to be a really cool atmosphere, and I'm hoping we can get our kids out, maybe talk our principal, letting the kids out of school early.
Good luck with that one, Coach.
Yeah, that's right. Coach, thanks so much. I know you're busy. Thanks for jumping on with us, and good luck as you guys run to Cherokee Trail.
Guys, I appreciate the support. As always, you guys take care and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet. Mark Brook, the head football coach out at Rocky Mountain High School. They'll visit Cherokee Trail, a second-round playoff team last year coming up. So you're right, Coach, man. Look at the schedule, though. At Legacy after that, Eagle Crest, at Horizon, and then they get to the three teams in a row, the three city teams as they get to a conference play. So going to be fun for Rocky Mountain this year.
And finish it up with Boulder-Fairview back-to-back.
Yep. Wonder what they can take from the Chaparral game, too. Sometimes you play teams that just are so below you, so unable to match up with you. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference for you.
Well,
more going to find out next with Corey Tickner, because they played a Timnath team of freshmen and sophomores, and really, I talk about domination, it wasn't a fair fight. So we'll see exactly what that did for the Berthoud Spartans coming up here in a second.
And getting back to Chaparral, as Coach said, you know, they are a quality program, and they may have lost a lot of guys and be a little young on the ball, but they're always going to have athletes.
That's right.
You know, and be very well coached.
And they were, Chaparral was 5-6 last year, but they beat Fairview. You know, they beat some teams that normally have pretty good programs. So, it wasn't a dog, I think, for Rocky in their first game, and they went 20-0. So, we'll see. We're talking about their offense a bunch. Maybe it's their defense. With all these seniors gone, maybe it's the defense that steps up for Rocky this year. Should be pretty interesting. Thank you on the program to Bank of Colorado. Folks, there's only one member FDIC for all they do. Bankofcolorado.com is where you go. We're big with the Rockies, so is Bank of Colorado, and they're big with you, folks. As we said, there's only one. It is Bank of Colorado. We'll come back in a moment, continue with the program here. Corey Tickner, Berthoud Spartans football coach, will jump on with us. Do that when we come back on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. All right, 10:36, Owl Communication Studios. It's Clark and the Coach here on a Tuesday in Northern Colorado. Thank you to Miranda Simpson, State Farm Insurance. She's local, folks, and she's going to kill it for you. Get your family in the right coverage so you can sleep at night. Miranda Simpson, she's your State Farm agent here in the Northern Colorado area, 17 years with State Farm. Give her a call today, 223-8700. We always say you can get insurance in a million places. It's about the agent. It's about that experience. Are they going to take care of you? Are they going to be there when you call Miranda Simpson? She will be there at your beck and call. It is Miranda Simpson, State Farm Insurance. Again, 223-8700. Let's get to the Gould Parts Hotline right now. Head football coach out at Berthoud High School, 1-0 Spartans, knocking out Timnath 48-0 in their opener. Corey Tickner jumps on with us. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Talk to me about the opener here. You guys go in against Timnath, and from everything that I see on paper, complete domination in the game. You give up, what was the total on the? You gave up 6 yards of total offense? I mean, domination on defense. Tell me what you can take from this. Corey, they got freshmen and sophomores playing. Are they outmanned right now, or did you guys stand up and really play a big game?
You know, I think it's a combination of all of those aspects. They look really good on film. We're really nervous about it going in because, you know, you play your first game, you don't really know what to expect from your own kids. And then we got out there, and we were fortunate enough to break off a pretty long touchdown to open the game, and I think that set the tone for the rest of the night. You know, they gave up a really good fight for the first quarter. I think we were up 12-0 after the first quarter, and we just kind of kept the ball on the ground and just, you know, kind of challenged their tackling ability. And like you mentioned, they are young kids, but we had a good game plan put together. Their offensive line really played well.
Good. And I was going to say, your O-line must have played well. Alex Larson and Ben Hughes had big games for you. You had two rushers up over the 100 mark, 251 for Larson on 29 carries. That's a workhorse effort.
Yeah, we're really excited about Alex Larson. We think he's going to be a, you know, a state recognized player by the end of the season. So we're going to keep giving him the football. And Ben Hughes is, you know, our fullback, and he's the one that took the first play of the game, about 68 yards. But our offensive line, they're doing a lot of good things. We've got some quick, fast, you know, bigger kids on the offensive line this year, and they're picking up the blocking schemes that we're teaching to them. And I'm excited to see what that group's going to do for the rest of the season.
Coach, you had a lot of guys come back and a lot of experience. I'm sure you're during the summer you saw a lot of improvement in, you know, weight room and things like that. But what's your biggest take on these kids being a little year older with that experience?
Yeah, that's a great point. The core of our team has been working out in the weight room since January. We've had about 25 kids in there every day. I'm really proud of those guys and the work they're putting in. And I think, you know, you kind of see that in the game style we played last Friday. Our linebacker core, you know, all returned. They're getting to be juniors and seniors now, and I'm really excited about that group. Our defensive line in front of them is playing really sound, gap-sound football. And our secondary, we did a lot of good work in 7-on-7 this summer, too. So our defense is a very strong aspect of our game plan, and I'm excited to see what they do on Friday against Valley.
You guys get the running clock going in this one. It gives you the advantage to play a lot of kids. I think I counted 25 different defenders that made tackles in the ballgame. So a lot of kids got ushered in on the defensive side of the football, I'm sure on offense as well. You take these games, and even though they're blowouts like this, Corey, you know, early on you're getting some stuff done, and then you get to see some of the kids, maybe give them some game experience that wouldn't normally get there. So that's all positive stuff, right?
That's exactly right. You know, once you get the score to be about, you know, 28-0 or so, you get a chance to work on some things and get some kids in and get them some game experience. And that's really going to pay off about midway towards the end of the season. So it was a good night for us overall. And you got to take your hat off to Jason Robinson over at Timoth. He's doing some really good things. They've got some great schemes in place. And once they get their junior and senior class over there, they're going to be real formidable.
You know, they have some big kids in that freshman class, don't they, Coach?
Yeah, there was some size on there. And like I said, when we were watching film on these kids last week, we were getting pretty nervous. So I was excited to see our kids respond. And, you know, we played a spring game against Englewood down there in June. As we kind of progress into our fall season, I felt like we've kind of been ahead of our opponents going into our foundation game last week. So I hope we get to see that again this week.
And Valley coming up next week. Coach, I always believe you make the most improvement between your first and second game. They haven't played yet, but I'm sure, you know, after watching film, you've picked some things out that you vastly need to improve on, even though you had the blowout win. What are some of those things you can take back to your team and say, hey, we got to continue to get better at this?
You're exactly right, Coach. And usually when you come off your first game, special teams is something that you got to spend some more time on. That's typically the side of the ball that's kind of behind in week one for us. And so we've, you know, put some plans in place to handle the special teams a little bit differently. And our coordinators worked really hard this weekend on some of their scrimmage film for Valley. Like you said, they haven't played yet, but we got a pretty good game plan. And we're going to start implementing that with our big practice day today. But Coach Leffler's got some good things going on over there at Valley. They've got quite a few kids out there. They've got some good size. So this is going to be a tough one for us. I'm excited about it.
Talking with Corey Tickner, the head football coach out at Berthoud High School. Run back to your defense for a sec. You held them to a yard a rush. Do you expect that the entire year that this is going to be one of the standout things for you guys is the ability to stop the run this year?
Well, our new defensive coordinator, Coach Vanderwert, who just joined us, he brought a new system with him. And it fits our players really well. So it is my expectation that our defense, you know, kind of holds us together and keeps us in the ball games. And we got a chance to do something special on that side of the ball, you know, with him leading the way and our linebacker core leading the team on the field. So, you know, we'll probably see a little bit more of a passing attack from Valley this week. They got a mobile quarterback a little bit, so it'll definitely test us. But I'm excited to see how we respond.
Coach, talk a little about your staff, some of the changes that have been made. You mentioned your defensive coordinator. Any other changes?
Yeah, we promoted our JV head coach to offensive coordinator this year. So Daniel Francis is our offensive coordinator on the varsity level, and Stan Matsunaka is the assistant head coach with us. He's been coaching in the area since, you know, I was a player. And so he's doing a lot of good stuff, you know, kind of coordinating our run game for Francis. And we brought in a new old offensive line coach, Anthony Stump. And together those three are doing some really good stuff with our blocking schemes. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Coach Vanderwerk's just been exceptional for us.
Corey, what is the name of your OC again?
Daniel Francis.
Francis, okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to look him up. Maybe we get him on the show one day. I love talking with some of the assistant coaches. And where did Daniel come from before that?
So Daniel has been with us for 3 years.
Okay.
And he played college ball at Minnesota Morris, and he played high school ball at Match Buff down there in Denver.
Ah, fantastic. He was a Buffalo.
Yes, sir.
All right, good stuff right there. Okay, Valley coming up. We talked about that a little bit. I want to throw kudos out here because, I mean, offense, defense, you play it, but you got to play special teams. If I'm right on the numbers here, freshman Jace Newbill had a punt return for a touchdown in the ballgame.
Yeah, that was something we were really excited about. We saw something, you know, on their punt team that we thought we could get a good exterior block on the edge. And we tried it a couple times on the first two punts and weren't able to make that succeed because they punted the ball in the appropriate way. And then freshman Jason Newbill, he's an exciting young player for us. He's really fast and has great ball skills. And, yeah, he was able to bring one back for a touchdown for us.
Fantastic stuff. All right, let's see. Let's get with you. You know, we'll give you a couple of weeks here. Want to stay in touch with Berthoud football coming up this year. So, Corey, we'll get back with you in a few weeks. But thanks for jumping on with us now, and off to a great start, man. Good luck going forward.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Corey. Tell Coach Stan hello.
All right, maybe we cut him off right there. Anyway, Corey Tickner, the head football coach out of Berthoud High School, jumping on the Gould Parts Hotline with us. Talk about his 48-0 win against Timnath High School. We'll come back in a moment. Final segment, we'll get to best bets. Talk a little MLB when we come back. Clark and the coach on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back. Alec Communications Studios, Clark and the Coach. We are presented by Advanced Roofing Technologies. One of our other great sponsors, that's the Quality Well and Pump folks. Love what they do. Christy Skip and the gang out there, anything that has to do with water, Quality Well and Pump. 353-3118. Knock it out today. Give them a call. And they're still having issues getting, like everybody else is, getting product, new product. Don't get behind the eight ball. Call them today. Tell them, at least have them line you up so that when everything's in stock, they're ready to go. They'll knock it out of the park for you. And in the meantime, they service everything. Makes, models, whatever you've got, any brand. Big Zomatic dealer out there. So if you're looking for irrigation, anything that has to do with water, water well digging, all that stuff, it's Q. WP, Quality Well and Pump. All right, so what's happening in MLB? What did I miss last night?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're just an MLB fan and you could have picked a game last night maybe to go see at a beautiful stadium, you go to Anaheim and watch the Angels and the Yankees.
Okay, I'll buy
and you
that.
See,
it's a beautiful stadium.
It is. Oh. You know, it's just what a great location. And Aaron Judge hits number 50. Otani, homers, you know, so you're seeing two probable Hall of Fame players in that game. And guess who's all of a sudden playing kind of decent baseball the way they were predicted to way too late is the Angels.
Yep. And, who's fading right now?
They swept Toronto.
Yep.
You know, and now they come home and they get a win over the Yankees 4-3 last night. Terrific game. Trout didn't do a lot at the plate, but made a terrific catch in center field. And so that's a game that you would, that casual fan would love to see. Good friend of mine actually tweeted it out. Him and his son were at the stadium.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Night.
Yep. Cool stadium, no doubt about it. And we talked about it. Are the Yankees a team to fade in the second half? And not because they're not a great team, because they played ridiculous baseball in the first half. There's no chance in God's green earth you can keep that kind of pace going. So everybody, every gambling figure I saw said you've got to look to fade the Yankees because they're going to be overplayed and overbet in every game in the second half of the season, and that's proving true. If you had at that point, if you'd start playing against the Yankees each day, you'd be killing it right now. So,
but, Clark, the Dodgers in the same boat with a huge division lead.
Sure.
They haven't slowed down.
Nope, they haven't. I mean, you got to look at what the team's doing. You're right. But Yankees certainly have played under 500 baseball. So we will find. Yeah, the Dodgers are just on another. They're just on another planet. I mean, they just keep rolling along. So pretty good stuff right there. All right, let's get to best bets. Bruce and I both started off the week yesterday by saying W. That's right. Win for both of us yesterday. Dodgers, Miami, I had the under 7. I loved the number 7. Too. They had to get 8 to beat us. They scored 5 times, and we got the victory. So 1-0 for Clark in the week here in plus 100. Bruce also 1-0. Two-team parlay yesterday, a couple of favorites. Toronto won 5-4 in 11 innings. That had to be nervous time for you a little bit.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun game to watch. Both teams end up with a double play in the 10th inning.
Really? How about that?
To kill rallies.
How about that?
Which you don't see very often. And then Toronto walks it off.
Also had Milwaukee in your parlay. They won 7-5 against the Pirates. So,
and they had to come back in the 8th inning to preserve their win.
Yep, so $100 winner for each of us yesterday. We took care of business. Wins and wins. Today, going to stay on the Cal Quantrill bandwagon here for the Cleveland Guardians. Quantrill has won his last 9 starts with Cleveland, all victories. So I think they're in a good spot today. I'm going to just single that one. I was thinking of going with a two-teamer because I also like, and my show bet will be Cleveland to win. I also like Arizona, plus a run and a half. Zach Gallen and Aaron Nola are pitching, and I thought, okay, that's a great pitching matchup. But then,
I looked at that.
But then you do some research, and you find out Aaron Nola has been decimated by the Arizona Cardinals. Last 15 innings against the Cardinals, he's given up 13 earned runs.
I have to correct you. That would be the Arizona Diamondbacks.
What did I say? I said the Arizona Cardinals, did I? Yeah. I can never get the Arizona name right. In hockey, I still want to go Phoenix. It's that state. It's too hot over there. I can't figure it out. Anyway, Zach Gallen, Aaron Nola. Give me Zach Gallen to best Aaron Nola tonight. Give me the run and a half because the over-under is 7. And that's a minus 150. So that's my secondary bet tonight. So, but for the show, staying on Cleveland, Quantrill, just bet him to win. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, we're on opposite ends today,
all
Clark.
Right. Because all right.
I'm doing a two-team parlay with two really good teams that have good odds today. I'm going to pair them up. I'm going with the Baltimore Orioles.
Boo!
And the New York Mets. And that little two-teamer is plus 410.
Oh, my Lord. How about that?
And two good teams that are battling it out, fighting.
Who do the Mets get?
I just had it here. The...
Uh-oh. Today, Coach didn't do his homework.
Well, I did my homework. Right. Oh, they're Dodgers. That's why the odds are so high.
All right.
Yeah,
who's,
the Dodgers.
Who's throwing for L.A.?
Heaney. Heaney is for L.A. Yeah. And Walker for the Mets.
All right.
That's why the odds are
Tefuan
ending up
Walker.
At 410.
All right, but you got to beat Cal Quantrill. So this breaks the 9-game winning streak. Is that what you're saying?
This does not. This is going to just reward people to higher ends.
Okay. No, I mean, you have Baltimore to beat Cleveland tonight, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So you're going to beat Cal Quantrill in his nine-game winning streak tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a bet off the air for us. Okay. that's good stuff right there, no doubt about it. Tomorrow on the program, shoot, I didn't bring in the information with me. Trying to think who we have on the pro. Oh, I think we've got Zach Lemon and Casey Doss tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. But you're going to look it up for me because I sent it to you. And I told you, I had a day yesterday.
Wednesday, we have Zach Lemon and Casey Doss.
Boom,
look at
that.
You.
Look at that. We'll get both of the coaches on tomorrow ahead of the Thursday clash between these two clubs. Both 0-1. Reds lost to a really good Classical Academy team to open the season. University to a really good Delta team to open the season. So where will all these teams fall when it's all said and done at the end of the year? We'll find out. But Thursday night, we'll get a little better idea who's going to be 1-1, who's going to be 0-2 between University and Eaton coming up. And then Friday night, we go to a Resurrection Christian High School Bob Mock's team, 36-6 over Moffat County in their opening game, take on a team from Florida, Orangewood Christian. And that'll be Friday night on Preps Radio. I don't know what we're going to get there. I'm interested to see what the team from Florida brings.
Yeah, it's kind of like a field trip for them, you know, to come out. I'm interested to see when they actually flew out, you know, what kind of things they're doing while they're here. They're not going to just come here and just play a football game and turn around and go home.
Sure, yeah.
They're going to do some Colorado things, I guess, and make it an educational trip. But, Bob on Thursday. And I am really anxious to talk to Blake Olson.
Me too.
The new voice of the Bears.
Got to the game we had on Friday night, Meade and Windsor. Blake's nephew, Ty Olson, was integral at the end of the game. Caught a pass at the end and turned it into a hook and ladder that they ran for about 40 yards on that last drive. So big stuff right there. Yeah, we'll talk to Blake Olson coming up. Thank you on the program, Mark Brook, the Rocky Mountain football coach, Corey Tickner, the birthed football coach, both for jumping on today. Whole show's coming up next, folks, for you on a Tuesday from the Allo Communications Studios. This has been Clark and the Coach on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.